Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow with just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Your letters. Hello, I'm Terry Smith.
And I'm Dr. Michelle.
And we are Surviving Head Trauma on the Brain Injury Radio Network. Thank you for joining us another month, wherever you are. Morning, noon, or night on our planet, we welcome you to another episode, and thank you for joining us. Michelle, how are you this evening?
Oh, goodness, I'm great. Just had a very busy week, lots of paperwork, and getting ready for school in a few weeks, and the last few weeks of summer, so I'm good, though. How about you?
Well, I tell you, I'm busy like you. It's just, it seems that I'm in the moving process, so it's a kind of a chaotic environment, and at the same time trying to keep everything together. But before we dive in deep into our topic tonight, letters from our audience, we're going to cover what our audience wants to talk about tonight, specifically in specific written format. But we'd like to thank our network owner, Craig Cecilia, for paying all the bills on here and keeping us on the air. Kim Justice, our station manager, who also hosts the show Recovery Now every Wednesday. And two more shows, Fat Moving Forward with Kelly KJ Jones and Dr. Valentina. They're on third Sundays. And Mess with MS with Lisa Dreyer. She's on Sundays, on second and fourth Sundays. We would like to thank you for listening. Every night of the week, there's a different show, and you can find Surviving Head Trauma on the fourth Thursday of each month, and also in bookstores, anywhere books are sold, Surviving Head Trauma. And on Facebook, there's a page, Surviving Head Trauma, where we post daily for your inspiration, education, or motivation. Whatever we're in the mood that day, we'll put up, and you'll find something new each morning. And also, TerrySmithBooks.com, where you can find all old shows, all the big, from the very first one 6 years ago or so. You'll find on TerrySmithBooks.com under the podcast section. So with that all out, we want to talk about what you have written us. Michelle, we've got quite a list tonight of topics that people have sent us. Did you get a copy? I sent you one so you can stretch out and see the titles of a few of the folders that I've made. Are you able to look at any of those? Michelle? I think we lost our co-host. Michelle, are you there? Dr. Lindorf? Okay, I think we've lost Michelle momentarily.
No, I'm here. I apologize.
Oh,
I did hear you. I had my speaker off. My volume was not. No, I did look at the list, and I didn't know exactly what you wanted to cover. Everything is fair game. So we've got loads of topics, so many.
Yeah.
So I just thought, let me just take them as they come, as you. I'll let you decide. Yeah, you open the first one, and I'll just start from there.
You notice what I'm noticing is a trend. The most popular, without a doubt, hands down, the most popular complaint or issue that our audience would like addressed is tinnitus. A lot of people somehow for some reason pronounce it tinnitus, which is actually the incorrect pronunciation, tinnitus. is what the complaint is, and we have a lot of envelopes on. When I get letters, I put them in a folder, and then I put reply. People reply to them, and I put their replies in. And each folder is a topic. So the most popular topic is tinnitus, but we will talk about some of the other ones. Let's start in fact, the first one is dealing with learning, leaning.
Did you
want to
talk
tinnitus.
About the tinnitus? Yeah. Let's talk about that. What's so amazing? I did not have anything planned. I usually come up with something. We talk in the week. We haven't spoken to each other really in a while, maybe half once or twice over this month. So we're out of touch with each other right now, I'd say. But I actually went to a concert with a friend of mine. I'll call her Jersey Girl. She's my friend. She's probably listening. And the music was so loud. It took about 10 days for my ears to recover. And I did have this hearing loss, ringing, and it was so disturbing, annoying. Oh, it was terrible. But I think I've got some hearing damage from this concert we went to. It was great, and I wasn't really near the speaker, but the last guy had the music so loud, I just,
my ears were toward the speaker. Did you have the ringing in your ear? Did you hear
I had a hissing and a ringing, and it sounded as if I actually couldn't hear. It sounded as if I had a glass or a cup over my ear. Have you ever been underwater and had that bit of water in your ear?
Yeah.
And that's exactly how it felt. And on one side, I couldn't hear, and I had this kind of ringing or humming that was in there. So it wasn't nice. It was horrible, to be honest.
Yeah, well, imagine that never going away. Imagine that being just the sound you hear every waking moment of your life. And then sometimes it gets louder and it changes pitches and never ends. You can hear it no matter how loud the external sound around you is. That sound inside your head still prevails. It's still out. Yeah, it's always going. So before we even read the first letter, we have to understand, and I'm glad that you, not glad that you went through it. I don't wish that on anyone, but at least you can identify the sound, what it's like after a big concert. Now people who do that repeatedly end up with it permanently, because if you do that night after night, if you're one of the performers or attend the concerts like that regularly, that's one of the ways to acquire it on a permanent basis. It's irreversible. So fortunately, yours was a temporary effect from a one-time exposure, and are you totally back to normal? All sound is clear now?
I would say almost. It's been maybe, Thursday? I think it may have been 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks. This weekend it'll be 2 weeks. And I was really scared there because it just really was disturbing, and I hadn't had that feeling in my ear. I've been to concerts before, and, you have a little buzzing for a day, or I'll wear earplugs. But I didn't bring my earplugs, and it just seemed to last a lot longer than normal and affect a lot more of my daily life. I felt a little bit off balance. I couldn't use my headphones. Talking on the telephone, I had to use the other ear, and it was just, I Googled everything, and I tried to hold my nose and blow, like pop the ears. I just tried so many things, and really just quietness and time healed that temporary problem for me. But with a head injury, it's not a temporary thing sometimes. And so I looked up some different techniques thinking that maybe it would help. And a couple of them did. There was something where you cover your ear with your hand and you kind of make a you use your fingers to tap the area behind your head, and you hear kind of a, it's like a drum, an empty sound in your head. And I don't know if that reset something. That seemed to help. But it wasn't, it didn't completely take it away. It just made me feel better for a minute. Maybe it was just distracting me. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting to hear that even from a temporary onset of tinnitus, from a, like attending a concert, as in your case, that you found relief from it, that you were able to subdue it enough to find peace. That's encouraging, because, I mean, if you can find it from a temporary onset, maybe if we search hard enough, we can one day end the irreversible sound in our heads. In fact, let's open an envelope that's titled Despair from Tinnitus, because this sounds like a pretty serious one. Let's jump in and see what the opening, the original letter is. Okay,
are you
this is
open
from
it?
Yeah, I just did. It's from Davina. Okay. And Davina says, I'm seriously suffering. I'm in despair, 24/7 for 18 months, constantly buzzing in my ear. My only relief is alcohol or sleeping tablets. I'm trying to mask the sound with white noise to get some sleep. It's not working. I need to sleep, but my tinnitus won't let me. All right, Davina. We have a few comments. Let's read some of the follow-up from that. One person, Marlou, says, try deep breathing and say relax when exhaling. Melatonin tablets will help too. Okay. Shirley says, try melatonin, but start small, 1 milligram. I use a sound machine from Amazon, soothing nature sounds, relaxing music, and more. I also use an air purifier by my bed and aromatherapy for my other senses. And the list goes on and on and on. But let's jump in, because when she says white noise, a lot of the comments here I'm seeing stand out with white noise. Doctors love to say, well, let's try this technique. And basically what they all boil down to is creating a different sound so that you're distracted from the loud, piercing sound of the tinnitus. But that never worked well for me mentally, because it's just replacing one sound with another sound. And often you can still hear the tinnitus behind the white noise that's created. So we have a long list of other people and their ideas for solutions and how to deal with the maddening effect it's creating on Marlo. So, Michelle, anything that you get from what she's going through right now, or you want to read some more?
Well, my experience wasn't as long, obviously, but it was very disturbing. I didn't know if I would actually get my hearing back. I investigated some supplements. There are some special tablets that are especially for inner ear health that are just available over the counter. It's mostly B vitamins and different things like that. And it says on the box, ear ringing. So they are just a list of, it's got B vitamins and C and just a few different things. I don't know. I didn't get a chance to purchase that, but it's basically a combination of vitamin C, 4 or 5 different B vitamins. Let me see, 6 B vitamins and calcium and a few other things that are supposed to be helpful. I don't know. I took just my regular multivitamin. I put ear drops. I found that headphones with no music helped for me. Just that headphones.
Literally just wearing them without any sound?
Just wearing headphones, because it was something about the white noise. Well, I didn't really try white noise, but for me, the background noise was so odd. My hearing had changed so dramatically that hearing things was annoying. And it would make maybe the ringing or the sounds I was hearing worse. Does that make sense? It just sounded really weird, like I was underwater and kind of a buzzing or a hissing or something that wasn't comfortable to me. But when I put the headphones on, sorry?
When you put the headphones on, what happened?
I could still hear the buzzing or ringing or the sound in my ear, but the extra noise in the room or the TV and the other noise around was blocked out. So these are I put the headphones on, the noise canceling ones that you use for going out to the gun range.
Yeah.
So I put those headphones on, so they're not hooked up to anything. But I was just kind of like grabbing at straws. That helped me, but I think it helped. I don't know that my hearing problem was as severe, and the fact that it was temporary and it kind of healed itself. It did get better every day, but I had to not just kind of monitor what I was listening to.
Well, to let our audience get an idea of just how easily this hack can happen. You were exposed to this loud music for how long? An hour, 2 hours, 3 hours?
Oh gosh, it was. I think the last fella of this concert overdid it with the sound. So I think he may have had some hearing loss himself, and he encouraged the sound stage, whatever the studio is, the people with the equipment. I don't know what that's
sound
called.
Engineers.
But he
sound engineers.
Yes, he encouraged the engineers. We saw him putting his fingers, louder, louder, you know, go up, up, higher. And he would point to his ears like he couldn't hear himself. So I don't know if that was the end or that did it, that it wasn't. He didn't really sound that good to me, but I don't know if that's because my ears were already suffering by that time, or did he just not really sound that good. But it was a concert from, I was probably there about 4 hours. Wasn't straight music loud the whole time. So it was up and down, up and down. But the last 30 minutes, the performer was very loud for that time.
Julie, that's what spiked it in and made the sound in your head appear.
Yeah, and I think it was getting worse as the night went on, but the music was so loud that I couldn't hear the buzzing or the ringing until I got somewhere quiet. And then when I got in the car afterwards, on the way home, I was like, oh, gosh, things sound different. And I could even hear my own voice echoing in my ear in an odd way. And when I woke up the next morning.
Plane after flying, like when you first, that when you swallow to pop your ear, before that happened,
yes.
Like that feeling.
That was the feeling I had for 2 weeks, almost 10 days.
Okay.
And even the sound that was coming in my ear was different.
Muffled.
And one ear was worse than the other. So it was a great concert, though. I'll go back, but I'll wear my earplugs the next time. I just wasn't prepared. It was kind of like a spur-of-the-moment thing.
Well, the idea is, though, you get an idea of what it's like. So you have a somewhat of a connection to what the people are talking about here. In fact, Larry comments, and his response to Marlo was that you are not alone in this. He says, it takes a couple of drinks in the evening to get to sleep. I stay asleep. It takes THC 10 milligram gummies to get decent sleep, far superior to the side effects of any sleeping pills. Well, that one, I don't know. Alcohol is not highly recommended here, but that was his solution. Georgia.
Yeah, that, with the TBI, with the traumatic brain injury, it opens another can of worms that we really don't want to get too deep into.
Yeah, so we don't want to use alcohol particularly. But I think what he's trying to say is that he just went to the most immediate effective way to knock himself out to go to sleep.
Right.
Because it's you know, after the first couple of weeks like you had, you can see how much insane you were starting to feel. Imagine 10 years, 20 years of this sound in your side of your head. Georgia, a female, her name's Georgia, she says, try a bell tone app called Calmer.
Mm.
It's designed for tinnitus sufferers, and it's free. It has lots of different noises you can combine to your own one, and I normally use pink or brown noise. Again, here, George's advice is to a specific device, but it's the same concept, creating a distracting noise. You still have that sound.
And it could be, you know, it doesn't have to be just a distracting noise. Think of it like an equal and opposite, a yin and a yang. If in your ear is ringing at a particular frequency, then some of these other noises may equal out that noise or be the opposite and make the ringing go away. That's a thing, that the noise in your ear that you're hearing is a particular frequency, and you can reduce it by putting the opposite frequency to your ear. Does that make sense?
Well, in theory, I've tried it, and for me, it was not. You're right. For other, everyone has a different degree of the effect. But consistently over the years, the 38 years now, I've not heard anyone really satisfied with the white noise concept, because, like I just said, they too have just no relief from the fundamental sound that's masked almost by the alternate frequency, as you say, because the frequency itself of tinnitus changes just randomly, just without provocation.
Well,
it just flips to a different level and gets higher or
lower.
Well,
that's possible, and that I fully agree with you. That could happen. Now, what I'm saying is that there is not necessarily white noise. There's another noise, another frequency that can be put in your ear or in the atmosphere that will coincide and equal out and eliminate the sound that you're hearing, is hearing, not necessarily you. So it may not be white noise. It's a different noise at a particular frequency. Every ear is different. Every damage, you know, there's little hairs that are in there. Some are damaged, some are not. The shape's different. The size is different. The tunnel going in your ear. All of that stuff is very personal to each person, and no two TBI injuries are alike. So,
right. In fact, Robin says a lot what you just said. She says, download the ReSound app on your phone,
mm-hmm,
and find that it is the same frequency as what you hear in your head. And she says, I love the crickets and she listens and keeps busy moving forward. Over time, you'll notice the tinnitus less and less, like I did. So she's saying the same level that you just said. Find this app. What is it? ReSound app. ResOund app.
ReSound. Okay.
Yeah, and she says this app finds, like you just said, the frequency that you hear in your ear, and you apparently you match it, and Just listen, 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 and keep being busy. That's her answer.
Yeah.
And
okay. So I mean, Andrew, for everyone, they're going to have a different answer.
Well, we have a whole list here of a whole bunch of ideas because every like you said, everyone is different. So people have found different ways to cope. And Andrea, in fact, says try an audiobook, a soft spoken voice, and a boring subject. Audiobooks really help get me to sleep. Okay, so again, she's going back to sleeping.
Accounting.
Yeah.
Accounting.
That's the only time you don't really hear it. I mean, is when you're asleep into the dream world.
Yeah, you know whose voice I really like, and it's so soothing. The fellow that does that painting on PBS, Bob, something or other. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the painter with the afro.
Yes. You can make your clouds whatever color you like. And you know, nothing's wrong. And if you don't like it, you can paint over it. And we're going to do this. And I feel like putting a little cloud there and a tree here. And he just talks. And it's just so gentle and not, it's not a deep voice. It's not a high-pitched voice. It's very soothing. I enjoy his manner and his cadence, just everything about his voice is just lovely, just really.
Well, then you're testimony to her idea then. Just so maybe if you find a podcast or a book with an author who's speaking or a reader who's speaking and you like the voice, maybe there's your answer, something soothing to just ease you to sleep. Now, Denver
says...
Well,
all I can say is, can I add this?
Sure.
After 3 days, I was going crazy. So I don't know how. I just was grabbing at straws. I was taking medicine, putting drops, ice, the headphones. I mean, I was obsessed. I couldn't function. And I had so much work to do. I had a lot of paperwork and court and this and that, all kinds of things I had to do this week. And
well, it can be debilitating. In fact, I forget the actor's name, and forgive me for not having his name here out of respect. But the actor who committed suicide a year or so ago, because he couldn't take the sound anymore. I mean, some people just don't handle it well, and give up. So it's not for the for the faint at heart. It's you have to have some type of something inside of you. I don't know. It says Charles says, for God's sake, change your diet, abstain from processed food, abstain for too much meat, eat green vegetables every day, especially green leafy like kale, drink a gallon of water each day, walk in the sun, walk 30 to 45 minutes a day, start there. Well, Charles, I don't know if Charles has tinnitus. I remember he was just putting out his ideas there, but not found exercise to be a sedative for myself. But like you said, there are varying degrees of intensity and different techniques work for different levels of intensity. So try it. I mean, what do you have to lose?
Well, maybe if you exercise till you're about to pass out.
Yeah, that'll
just
knock
it. Run and run and run, or exercise.
Well, Chrissy has a similar one. She says, when at home, exercise, keeping busy as much as I can, sleeping pills and alcohol. When I get the chance and take my camper to the beach, don't need either. I think stress plays a big role. Double-edged knife, really, isn't it? Cause tinnitus stresses me. I think what she's saying basically is what everyone else is saying: get away from your own mind. Try a way to escape. She's using alcohol and sleeping pills, which again I don't advocate. The beach idea sounds like a good one. There's a nice sound to hear: the ocean waves.
Yeah, and that's peaceful and calming. Now, once again, you know, if there's a frequency to the there's a frequency to the ocean, and maybe that din or hum or hiss from the water and the surf crashing may work for some people.
Yeah.
My tinnitus went away. But
you're one of the fortunate ones.
Not going away. It needs attention.
You know what? We're at the bottom of our first half hour. So let's, you know, I don't think we gave our audience the phone number to the show. If you'd like to call in and give us some of your ideas, call us. We're in country code 1, if you're not in the United States. If you are, the area code is 424, and the phone number is 243-9540. Give us a call and press 1 on your phone pad if you'd like to speak on air. Otherwise, we'll just see you on the switchboard and not know that you would like to talk. So dial us at 1-424-243-9540. If you'd like to listen, that's fine. But if you'd like to speak, press 1. And with that, we're going to take a word from one of our big aides in this community of ours in the brain trauma world. That's the Brain Injury Association of America. So we'll be back in 35 seconds.
Research, treatment, and support speed recovery for the more than 2.5 million children and adults who sustain traumatic brain injuries in the United States each year. March is Brain Injury Awareness Month. Support research and better access to care, and let people with brain injuries know that they are not alone. Call 1-800-444-6443 or visit www.biausa.org to learn more about brain injury.
BIAUSA.org. Again, each month I try to let you know that Brain Injury Association of America is located all over. I mean, there's probably a local chapter near you. So reach out to their national line, BIAUSA.org, and find a local chapter that can help guide you. Because in the beginning, it's difficult when you're new to this world. You need a little guidance, and they're here to help. Not only on the personal level and at your community level, but annually there's a trip to Capitol Hill to fight for the rights of brain injury survivors. Because believe it or not everyone is as compassionate for people who've had their brains smashed in. So it takes congressional movement to make things work for us sometimes, and Brain Injury Association is good at advocating for us. So thank you, Brain Injury Association. Now, Michelle, we have other ideas here, and I will share one from James. James says, "What works for me is working out at the gym in the evenings. This makes me super tired, so I can sleep." Again, we're going back to people escaping consciousness. I've had tea for many years. That's we call it the tea. Research shows that some people have good results in reducing tea. So exercise, exhausting yourself, knocking yourself out until you don't hear anything anymore. So it's on the list. The list goes on here. We can keep reading, but all the answers are kind of starting to resemble each other now. In fact, here's one that says, works, keeps my tea down during the day. Exercise, talking about exercise. And again, I wear up a hearing aid with masker, and it really helps. Stay away from drama. So,
well, that's stress, you know, changes in. The tinnitus doesn't have to be caused by the head injury. Many people do have that, and sometimes it's temporary, and it goes away on its own. It just heals up. But different things can keep it around besides the head trauma, changes in the blood flow, even your diet. Anemia and different deficiencies can make the tinnitus worse. High blood pressure, side effects to other medicine, diabetes, thyroid disease, certain diseases will worsen or impede the recovery from the hearing damage or the tinnitus. So there are things you can do to treat that, those underlying issues. You'd have to go maybe online or see an audiologist for an exhaustive list. I'm just giving a few examples. But the people did, several people mentioned health and diet. And yes, there are some vitamins that can help. There's one that's called ear ringing. And also lack of vitamins, such as maybe low iron or anemia, and different health conditions can make the ringing and the sound, the buzzing, hissing, whatever you're experiencing, could be made worse or intensified, or the recovery slower because of these other underlying things. So it's a multimodal kind of problem, and we've got to kind of treat it individually like that. From
well,
all
especially
angles.
The psychological effect. I mean, that's one of the things. In fact, what is it? Mark here says,
mm-hmm.
Yes, mainly toxic, negative people or bad relationships, anything that gets your heart rate up. Nothing wrong with emotions. They're going to give you the good or the bad, but the bad gets the rate up. So the vitamin deficiencies or the added supplements combined with the emotional state, I think you've got something going on there, because you're right that you get, in fact, with my tinnitus, in addition to the loud piercing sound, there's the pounding beat of my heart. Excuse me for 1 second. I think I'm about to sneeze. Thank you.
Like a whooshing noise?
Well, it's my heartbeat. I can literally hear the pounding of my heart in my head with the loud tinnitus. So it's... And when the pounding gets louder, like my emotion, I get excited or angry or just my heart, anything that elevates my heart rate, I can hear it. It gets louder and faster. I can, it's like wearing a stethoscope, and you can hear it that clearly inside the head. So yeah, I understand what Mark is saying about staying emotionally calm, because that does add. I mean, if your tinnitus is accompanied with other sounds, as in my case, but it's a repetition here from what we're hearing from everyone who responded to her. Melatonin is a constant word I'm seeing in this list. What do you think about that? As a pharmacist, what is the advantage of melatonin? How does that just makes us peaceful and sleep better? Is that the objective?
Yes, it's just a calming supplement that works for some. Some people it doesn't work, or you have to take 1 milligram or 5 or somewhere in between. Some people take 10. So it's very individualized, very trial and error type of thing. But nearly 50 million Americans experience some type of ringing in their ears, chronic ringing, whooshing, buzzing, roaring, and it is very disturbing. It's upsetting. It can be debilitating, and it can lead spiral down, like you said, the actor that we can't think of the name of. Many people have it, but it's just how you deal with it, or if it's not going away. But melatonin, back to the answer, is a supplement that may give you some temporary relaxing sleep. It is not the cure for the ringing or the sound. It's not focusing on your ear. It's not focusing on the problem. It doesn't heal the damage or replace any vitamin that you may be deficient or lacking. So it's just a crutch to help you to get to sleep. And so that falls into place with the exercise people. They're tired and they just sleep. So,
well, I tell you, here's a new one for you. Here's an interesting one from, I'm not pronouncing this right. Eustachia, something says, I feel for you. I've had this most of my life, but it gets worse. I'm trying a Hawaiian affirmation.
Okay.
She doesn't tell us what the affirmation is, but it's an Hawaiian affirmation. And so now we're going out into just the ends of our ropes, trying things. That sounds like a nice attempt, but clinically speaking, I mean, it says this, I'm reading now from a medical journal, and it says, does tinnitus ever go away? And the answer to that was, healthcare providers may be able to cure tinnitus by treating the underlying condition. When they can't, they recommend tactics to reduce its impact. So there are various causes for it. So, depending upon the cause, maybe there can be something that your doctor can do, but they don't know exactly what causes it. They think abnormal activity in part of the brain that processes sound may be responsible, but they don't know how or why. So it's a tough battle. It's about, like what you said, Michelle, it's how you deal with it, finding coping skills. Finding ways to psychologically handle it.
Yeah, right. Yes, exactly. I agree with you. Because and you need to address it. It's serious. It seems like, oh, it's just a little buzz. But if it's chronic, it actually can lead to other ailments. It can spiral to depression, anxiety, worthlessness, and as you mentioned, some people spiral down all the way to self-harm and even suicide. Those are real outcomes from tinnitus, and it's serious. So if it's troubling you, if it's severe, if it's debilitating, if you're thinking about it, seek medical advice. Go to an audiologist, try your remedies, but seek professional advice, especially if it hasn't healed itself, improved, or it's changing. The best thing to do is have someone investigate the ear, a professional.
Yeah. And if
I wanted to say that name you said, Eustachia. There's a tube in your ear. Is that the real name? There's a Eustachian tube which connects your ear to like your throat and your nose. Have you ever held your nose and then tried to blow the air out of your nose?
Like after a flight.
That? Yes. That tube in your ear that's very sensitive to pressure, it's called the Eustachian tube. And the person whose letter you just opened.
Yeah, that's funny. How about that? I wonder if her name has something to do with her destiny getting this.
Right. I'm like, is that a real name? I think she's pulling your leg. She's pulling your leg. Anyway.
It's named after
an Italian scientist, the Eustachian tube. Bartolomeo Eustachii or something like that.
The tube inside of our head.
Yeah, not the ear, the part that you see that attaches to the outside that people put Q-tips and fingers and combs and whatever in their
tongues.
Way past the eardrum, there's a tube that goes down the inside of your head, and it kind of somehow it connects your nose and your throat. So if you ever put something in your nose and you can taste it, or you put drops in your eyes and it kind of all of that sinuses are all kind of connected, and that tube to your ear is part of that bit of your body.
Okay. Well, you know, in addition to finding the physical doctors to examine you, at some point you may need psychological aid because, I mean, at some point it's a matter of just deciding if you want to live anymore. It can get to the point when it's so incessant that you'd rather die. I mean, because you realize that death is going to be the only cure. Ultimately, you're going to, even if you sleep it off for the night, you're going to wake up and it's still going to be there. And day after day, year after year, 40 years later, you just can't take it anymore. You wake up and want to end it all. That's when it's time to seek psychiatric help because it's a matter of developing skills to not let it drive you to the end of a gun barrel
that's why alcohol, which is a depressant, is not mm-hmm. the fix for this ailment. Now, people have said, oh, I have a drink and it helps me relax and I go to sleep. However, with the TBI, with the anxiety and other issues that come along with the traumatic brain injury, alcohol is not part, should really not be part of your therapy. It's not helpful because the line for TBI and the depression and the feelings that it could bring upon you, it's just stressful because people can't remember things. You have mood swings, mood changes. There's an array of issues that come up with TBI and suicidal thoughts, upset, the inability to do things, not remembering. All of those emotions and feelings all are difficult to manage. And yes, therapy, a therapist, someone to talk to, listening to the show, getting some advice, all kinds of things may help just to bump you in the right direction rather than a downward spiral. So whatever you have to do to keep your spirits up, your health up, your mind improving, and we're not talking leaps and bounds. One day couldn't remember who I was, and the next day I remembered everything. Just that little improvement every day. There will be setbacks. Things happen. That's life. But if your trajectory is upward, keep that momentum, do positive things, be around positive people, and try different things for your ailments. Don't give up on 10 different things. Don't give up on white noise after trying that. Don't say, oh, the earplugs didn't work for me, drops didn't work, the vitamins didn't work, exercise didn't work. Maybe the 10th thing you try, or 11th, or 20th, something, or it's a combination of things. So this is a disease and a problem that has many facets and many different things that can help you, many different cures, there's not one fix. There's not a panacea for everybody to be fixed or healed.
You know, it's funny, when you say it could help you, it makes me think of one of the things I've done psychologically to kind of deal with it at times. Because mm-hmm. like you said, at different times you're going to be in different moods and think of different emotions and feel different things. But one of the funnier sides to mine when I'm hearing the sound and it's driving me absolutely crazy, I like to think, okay, maybe this is some kind of special gift we've been given, and it's a frequency that if we're around certain other frequencies, we might be able to pick up and hear strange broadcasts that no one else can hear. Or we're sending out signals.
It's the frequency of the vibration that's out there.
Exactly. you start playing games with yourself mentally to try to play around with it so that it's not so intense that you can maybe make light of it. And it's hard to do that when you read about the act. Steve
Steve something who took the gun to his head when he couldn't deal with the sound anymore. But anything you can do to distract yourself from thinking of guns or hammers, because there are times you want to just take a hammer to your head to just stop the sound. And that's not healthy. So, yeah, pretending
maybe. That's a different problem. That's a different, you know, the tinnitus can be severe enough to affect your attitude, your mood, your psyche.
Oh,
it's
definitely
true.
Yeah,
so,
that's the thing. It leads to that.
Well, it may. We don't know. You know, it may lead to different things. People cope different ways.
Depending on the person, exactly.
Definitely, if you're feeling desperate, if you're feeling upset or suicidal, seek help. Seek help before the tinnitus becomes unbearable. And that's what I tell my patients, too, with pain medicine and things. Oh, I don't want to take the pain medicine because I don't want to get addicted. Now, if you're in pain and you wait until it's excruciating, the medicine is not going to give you that much relief. So before, I'm not saying take your pain medicine before you start hurting, but don't wait until your level is at 10 on a scale of 1 to 10 or 12 where you're insane. So before the problem, start trying different things to help, to see, to check. Try different.
I think what you're saying ultimately then is for our audience not to give up. Those of you who have tinnitus, just don't give up, because the sound may or may not go away, most likely not. But if you keep trying, you may be one of the fortunate ones and it does go away. But I have another letter here, or another envelope that has a topic in it. Can TBI cause apathy? And let's see I'll open the first letter, the actual beginning one. It says, I read today, and I blocked this person's name out. They did not want to be identified. I read today that brain injuries can cause lack of compassion. I feel this on a monumental level and hate it. Does anyone else experience this? Oh, wait, this is not tinnitus related. I'm sorry. I thought this was tinnitus, but this is purely losing apathy because of brain trauma. Let's go back to tinnitus and stick with that one. And it says this TBI causes apathy. Let's see. Tinnitus, is it caused by hearing loss? Does tinnitus make you feel anything? That's the one. Does it make you feel anything? Let's see. The listener reads, does tinnitus make you feel anything? And people responded, drained, tired, headaches, list goes on really. Annoyed, frustrated, very, very tired. Fog, I can't think. Pissed off, depressed, frozen like a rabbit, afraid to do anything, unable to function, really hard to snap out of it. Need to try yoga and mindfulness. Oh, but where to go for that? Don't know. My entire world is shut down, waiting for now my narrative. So I don't understand the rest of that. But another reply, well, uncomfortable, because it's got me hearing lots, and I have a customer service job, lots of things, yes. Satan's Symphony at Club Insomnia, 24/7, 365. Jeez. So this
wow,
gives an idea.
Bad.
Yeah, this gives
well,
an idea.
You know, I mean,
Satan's
someone
Symphony.
Mentioned yoga, but where to find it? Where, you know, right now, everything is online, YouTube, you can watch whatever on demand, cable TV. And so if you're looking for an exercise class, yoga, DVDs are online, if anybody has a DVD player anymore. But you can download many exercise classes. You don't have to go anywhere. In the days of COVID, which is what we're living in now, people don't want to go out. They don't want to go to classes. They don't want to be around other people. And sometimes that's a side effect of a TBI, a little agoraphobia and fear of crowds and
right,
wanting to stay home. But that is an acceptable fear at the moment because of the coronavirus stigma. So it's out there.
Well, you know, your YouTube people idea is universal because YouTube, I mean, you can, I personally have used YouTube to learn how to repair garbage disposal, to replace it. And then anything you want to do, you can go to YouTube and type it, the topic in, and you'll find a,
right,
someone with an
my
opinion
girlfriend,
how to,
she's so handy. I've got a girlfriend. She fixes everything. Oh, my dryer went out. It was the board, the motherboard. I don't even know. Some control panel, and I had to do this and that. I'm like, how do you know how to do all that stuff and have the tools to dismantle part of your washing machine? Oh, I had to do it because it's on YouTube. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Every week
she's doing something
with YouTube. Oh,
yeah,
I changed the headlight in the car and the hubcaps and the, I'm like, oh, my gosh.
The ice maker in my refrigerator stopped working. I went to YouTube, learned how to replace the little thing that makes the ice maker work again. It's just amazing.
My mom did that. That happened with my mom. She's like, oh, don't use the ice. It's not working. I have to go on YouTube. And I said, just call the fellow. It's under warranty. You just got this thing. And lo and behold, one afternoon, she went to YouTube and figured it out, whatever it was.
It
worked,
like, right?
I don't know how to. She got a new car. I don't know how this thing works. I'm going to go to YouTube.
Yeah,
I'm like,
that's
oh,
it.
Well, and she knows more about her car than, you know, and she hasn't picked up the book, the manual at all. It's all on YouTube.
Everything you want to know.
Like, oh, her car has everything. It has some air freshener thing. She's like, oh, I can't turn my air off because it'll disrupt the air freshener. I'm like, what? I just find out you have that. Oh, it's on YouTube.
YouTube. Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's good to go somewhere because, like Maria here says, she feels depressed, anxious, hopeless, irritated, and uncomfortable. And the list goes on. Everyone here is replying with the same kind of answer, suffering. Life is good.
Yeah.
Whatever negative thoughts come to mind, I flip them over as I would a coin into positive ones. And there's a good Ron. That was his opinion. Lousy, depressed, agitated, stressed, anxiety, depression. So it's a similar answer from everyone. Everyone has the same reaction to it. But I think that finding the answer, the solution, is going to be different for each person. Because
yes, the solution, there is no one solution. The solution can be elusive. But if you don't get any other thing from this podcast today or this show, don't give up. Continue your search. Try various things. Go to seek professional advice. Go to a therapist, not just the ear specialist or hearing aids or whatever. Don't just go to the audiologist. Go to your physician and say, this is bothering me. Speak up. Tell somebody. Share it. Talk about it.
You know what, Michelle? I wouldn't even.
Yeah.
And normally, I'm not a real holistic person all the way, all the time. But if you've tried everything clinically out there, try holistic medicine. Healers. Try,
right.
Just go out. There's nothing. What do you have to lose?
Acupuncture, acupressure, all these
there
different, you know, things that I don't know what's going to work. We don't know. We can't say one thing is better than another. However, if you do nothing, you will get nothing. That's for sure.
Yes. Now, Zach here has an interesting approach. Zach says, the first year is the hardest, but it does get better. You learn to live with it better. And if you get depressed, try antidepressants. They do help get through it first. Get it. Now he had me in the beginning there, but at the end, I'm not sure. I'm not a real big pharmacist. I know that that's your livelihood, pharmaceutical drugs, but taking antidepressants.
Of everybody of the United States, we take the medicine because we want to be better now. And this better work.
You know, I don't want to digress too much, but you just brought up an interesting point. every time you turn on the TV, there's a commercial for some type of ailment that we may or may not have ever heard of in our lives. But it's like, as if the drug companies are throwing out problems and medicines to solve those problems until you hear a problem that, oh, you know what? That sounds like me. Oh, they're kind of
making
this.
Well, you know, they're so vague, too. Some of these commercials, the people are, oh, they're playing horseshoes, and then they're talking about all this, so you can get kind of sucked in to this scenario that they've created. And at the end, oh, if you've got these issues, then, you know, this may be for you. Talk to your doctor. But how I remember some of the commercials, and I don't remember what they're selling. What is it for, and what am I supposed to have now that they've described every ailment that I have? If your big toe is throbbing, then you need to take thrombicidin.
Exactly.
And now I'm climbing up the walls, you know.
It's funny because they're going on a list, and eventually you're going to hear something on there that resembles some ailment of yours.
Right. And then the guy at the end may cause all these horrible side effects, and you might want to talk to your doctor. And I don't know if you want to take this stuff because, hey, it could happen to you.
Yeah.
He says it all fast.
I know.
Like,
so what do we do?
Death. Oh.
We live in a, like you said earlier, an instant gratification world now.
Yeah, we don't want to wait. And, I mean, I don't want to wait, but I do know that even though your TBI was instant, your healing is not instant. And there are many different processes that are intertwined that need to heal, and they're healing at different rates. And you may get your tinnitus improved, but your memory isn't going so fast. Or your mood may be optimistic, but these other things are not getting better. They're not improving as quickly. And then, you know, we're one body. All these things, these processes are happening simultaneously. So one thing's getting better, one thing's not. Everything's stagnant, everything's good. It's like a roller coaster. I like to think of our healing journey as a roller coaster. And it's a roller coaster of life. The best way we can get through it is to try and stay on the little kiddie roller coaster that goes in a circle, and it doesn't go too high and it doesn't go too low. And if that little bit of our lives we can control and keep from wildly swinging up and down, maybe everything will start fitting into place a little bit. Something will get better, and we'll end up on a trajectory that is positive
and lands in a place of peace. That's ultimately the goal.
Yes. Yes.
Right. With that in mind,
yes, go ahead.
Well, I'm saying, with that in mind, I think that you're right. It's about finding your own, rising to the occasion of living with something that you can't control, that's beyond your control anymore. And with that said, we're going to segue into our first music break. We have been an hour and 5 minutes into the show. I think it's time to give our audience a 4-minute, 31-second break of Rising to the Occasion with Cindy Cook. Check her out on YouTube, like we just said. You can find anything or anyone almost on YouTube. Check out Cindy Cook, C-Y-N-D-I is how she spells it. Rising to the Occasion. We'll be right back. Michelle and Terry on Surviving a Trauma on the Brain Injury Radio Network. rise to the occasion. That's Cindy Cook. That's what we have to do. We have to rise to the occasion when life gets us down, when the sound in our head is so loud we can't think about anything but spinning around. We have to ground ourselves and rise to the occasion. Right, Michelle?
Yep, that's right. That's right. Stay positive, right. Think positive.
And rise to the occasion.
To the occasion.
Yeah. You know what? We've been talking about tinnitus because that was the most popular folder in the box tonight. We have other topics tonight we can cover. We can talk about, here one says, done with relatives for making fun of her TBI scars. That sounds cold.
Oh, no.
Let's see what's packed. What I do is I collect these as the months go on, and I put them in a folder, and that's why I have so many. I have to read them to catch up to speed with you. All right. This one is from Ashley. It says, my own sister, her boyfriend and his cousin made fun of me last night for my bald spot from my freaking injury. Seriously,
That's horrible.
With my sister. Like, how could she do this to me? She's supposed to be my sister. I haven't stopped crying. I've struggled enough with this, and now I have to have them bully me over this.
Yeah, that's horrible. You know, it's already, you've got a problem. You can't remember. You're not yourself. You look, sometimes you look the same. Sometimes you have some scars.
Her case, she was fresh out of it with a fresh bald spot and staples probably.
Yeah. Never a good idea to bully someone.
How do you need, what words do you need to say to someone like that? I don't know. One person here says, that spot is a symbol of your strength and superpower. You are a survivor. Here's a healthy approach. But when your family, your sister turns on you like that, that's a tough one to swallow. I mean,
and, you know, maybe they thought they were helping. We weren't there. We don't know the situation. But if someone is upsetting you or saying something that's not kind, maybe they're taking it as a joke. Maybe they think it's funny. Maybe they're making light of the situation to try and cheer you up. I don't know because we weren't there.
That's a good point. You know what? A lot of times that happens. People say things in humor, and at least their intention is for it to be humorous, and it doesn't come off that way at all.
Yes. So I hate the thought that someone would intentionally hurt someone else. But obviously it happens all the time, sibling rivalry, people just don't like each other, all kinds of things. So she may be correct. They may possibly have intentionally said some hurtful things. However, it's no reflection on the person on the receiving end, but it's very difficult to deal with. How do you do that? I don't know.
Well, one of the ways of dealing with it is realizing the fundamental flaw in people who bash out or lash out at you like that. It's typically not you. People, rational people, don't do that to other people. When you get that in your mind as a foundation, you have to realize that the person doing this to me has an issue. Something's wrong with that person. This is a reflection of their internal struggle.
No.
They're battling their own demons. Because rational people just don't do that to
them.
That's something that's it's irrational, and you have to put yourself in a place to stand back and objectively look at it so that it doesn't get to you emotionally. I think that Emma has it, and Emma said, I'm so sorry that this happened to you. Often it's those closest to us who hurt us the most and show us the least empathy. Emma's right.
That's true. And part of that is because they knew us before. They have a history. There's that history of, you know, oh, I remember Terry telling those jokes, and he used to be the life of the party, and you look the same, except for that bald spot or whatever it was, but inside you're different. and things are going on that can't be seen to the naked eye, and people with TBI need most of the time a little bit more compassion, a little bit more time, and they're not the same as before. They're not the same. They look the same most of the time. Sometimes they look different. Like
and you know what, Michelle? The fact that she said that she was still bald in that spot makes me see quickly that it's something relatively new. So what you just said makes it even more imperative that she, the sister, the brain trauma, understand that her sister is also new to this because it's new for everybody right now. So you're right, that seeing the old sister and now the new sister in the same person can be jolting. It can jolt you a little bit and make you uncomfortable about what to say or how to respond to this new person in front of you. But
yeah,
Maddie,
TBI isn't the only way that people change. You know, a TBI is just one thing, one that could alter your behavior, mood, and personality. People change anyway. So just age, you're not the same person you were yesterday or last year. We're different. We've known each other for ages, but through our experiences and things that have happened to us, not just TBI, we're different. And
life changes, so, natural changes.
Yeah, life.
Well, Maddie John here has a reply. He said that you don't deserve people like that. I got rid of most of my family after my injury. Now, that's a tough one. That's a tough one to swallow because sometimes your family is all you have to support you.
Right. That's right. That support network. I would not have been able to survive because I had two young kids. I couldn't take care of them. I couldn't take care of myself. I had family members to basically come and do what I was doing. And it took three. It took my mom, a cousin, someone to drive, and just to do what I was doing was not a one-person job. And I realized I was under quite a bit of stress and had to ease myself back into my life, and I could not do what I used to do. And it was very disconcerting, upsetting. As a parent, I wasn't in a position to make those decisions that I was making. Couldn't even drive, really, you know? So it was a before and after type of thing. Before the TBI, things were this way. And then after, they were a different way. And it was an adjustment for the entire family, not just me. They were happy to have mom back, but mom was different.
And then being so young, I guess, made it easier because, I mean, when you're that young, you're even more easily adjustable. You can adjust your view of things more quickly because you're not so settled of knowing this person for 20 years being one way and then having to adjust to the new person. You're still young.
I agree with that to a point. But they were my children. We were bonded. We were having particular activities in life a particular way. I'm not saying I was perfectionist or had everything organized and in its place, but I was a provider. I still am. But I no longer could manage getting them to and from school and getting dinner and their clothes. And they were not thrown into taking care of themselves, but there was a different person helping them do different things where I already knew what they could do and what they were struggling with, trying to make them independent people. The parent's goal ultimately, if you're not parenting your kids and trying to get them in a position where they can live without you, I'm not sure what you're doing. That's just me. But that's what I was doing, trying to navigate the my family and the lives of my children.
And it worked out well
changed.
For you. It worked out well, didn't it?
Eventually, I mean, the first year or so, I struggled. I couldn't work. I couldn't drive. I wasn't cooking dinner. I had some injuries to my body. So physically, I wasn't able to do the things I used to do. Mentally, I couldn't remember things. So I couldn't. It's funny. I could find my way around in a car, and I knew how to get places, but I couldn't remember the journey getting there. And if I talked to someone on the phone, I would not remember the conversation when I hung up. So if I didn't write down whatever we talked about, it didn't happen. I wouldn't remember anything about
most
nothing.
Of us can. Yeah, we can relate to that. Most
yeah.
Us,
so
in the audience here,
yeah. And it could have been, you know, oh, can you go to the store and get eggs? Oh, thanks for calling. Yeah, I'll go and get eggs for us. Yeah, thanks for reminding me. Hang up. What did we just talk about? What am I supposed to do? Who was that? Nothing. It was like a blank. So I
everyone in our audience right now can relate. Yes, we can all relate to that one. In fact, speaking of forgetting, I forgot to tell our audience tonight. Angela, remember Angela? She may be calling the show.
I was asking about her. Yeah.
Yes, she may call us tonight. She's going through a lot of things in life right now, so we may get to hear about her adventures at 11:30. So if you're still around at 11:30, you may hear from Angela tonight.
I like that. Listen, the adventures of Angela.
The adventures of Angela.
Yeah, yeah.
Excuse me. I'm sneezing tonight. I don't know why. My third time tonight. Yes, we will maybe hear from her. So we will, speaking of forgetting and remembering, I just remembered tonight. Yeah, we may get to hear from her. In fact, in tonight's show, if you look on the website where we're broadcasting, it's the title of our show tonight is, what is it called? Let me flip over from the chat room. It's Surviving Head Trauma with Terry, Michelle, and maybe Angela.
Ah!
Yes. So, and in fact, let me tell you, your audience listening, if you don't feel comfortable speaking loud on air, there's a chat room. If you visit blogtalkradio.com/brain injury radio network, you will find a chat board and you can type to us. And no one's typing to us tonight, but I want you know that you can do that.
Are people on the switchboard tonight?
Yeah,
no one's raising their hand?
No one's pressing one. In fact, let me give you the number again. Our phone number is 1-424-243-9540. And then once you're connected through the switchboard and get on in the queue, you press 1 on your phone, and then the switchboard will let me know that you would like to speak on air. So if you have something to say, press 1. Now, we have another comment about this. Erica says, I would probably deflect by making a joke about it, like, can't let all the men have all the fun. When I feel uncomfortable, I usually try to be funny. I'm sorry they were making fun of you. Well, that's one way to handle it if you feel that cool under pressure, but when someone directly attacks you like that, it's hard to come back humorously for a lot of us. But if you have that gift of humor, if you have that gift of humor, yeah, that's a good way to handle it. Deflection with humor. I'm not typically that funny.
Well, with TBI, people have a range of emotions, and sometimes your personality, a jovial person, may not be so jovial.
Yeah, I was about to say, my response would be quite the antithesis or the opposite of that. It would be to just go off on you. Well, you have a whole head of hair. What's your freaking issue or something?
Well, that short fuse is very common. We've spoken about this, too, in the past.
Yes.
A short fuse is a very common side effect or issue, whatever you want to call it, that can be associated with TBI. Character changes, personality changes, easy to anger, use of profanity and rage, and all of these very strong negatively connotation, you know, these emotions that have a negative connotation to them, emerge in a person who may have been very calm and quiet and demure, may suddenly become the opposite and easy to anger. Someone who had a long fuse may suddenly blow up and that, very out of character.
Yes.
Very out of character is in character for TBI.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way to describe it.
But
so
see,
you
I
look
see,
the
this
same
is a lot
on
of,
the outside, yeah.
Well, there's a lot to be said for profanity. So it makes you, you use profanity a lot. But I have found it to be very cathartic. I mean, when I'm alone and, and away from everywhere, there's nothing more therapeutic than screaming at the top of your lungs with the most profanity you can find, making up words that, that aren't even real words, but they just sound like that's a cuss word. It just sounds like a cuss word. Just screaming,
oh,
just
I love that.
It does. It just makes you, for Terry Smith, I feel relieved as if I've just come from a massage or something peaceful. And I feel there's a certain bliss
that's
afterwards.
Funny.
So
that's funny.
Yeah. It has its merits in the right time and place, not in the middle of dinner table at Thanksgiving or something, but when there's a time and a place for everything. And if done properly, it can be cathartic. So,
well, as a lover of words, that's me, a logophile. I love words, and I love making up words, putting words together, blending two words together.
Yes.
My friends and I have our own little, not a language, but we talk about different things, and we have our special words that we describe these just made up.
Those are the best. The ones that are made up are the most fun, because then nobody, it could be so ambiguous, you could take it any way you want.
right. And we have just things that we say that aren't foul, but the way we say these words, they're made up, some of them, they sound bad. And it's so fun saying them. And we have like a whole storyline going, this village of crazy towns. It's not called Crazy Town. We have a special name for it. But we like go there when we're angry at them.
You know, that makes me, just hearing you say that makes me feel even happier. Just there was something light about that that just made me smile and made me lighter. So I think you just struck something,
Michelle.
It's making
me laugh thinking about the things you say. Oh.
Yeah, you did. I think you just struck something there. Find humor. This is a good medicine. Find some way to navigate around the pain of what you just heard into something lighter inside your mind.
Right. That's one of my favorite things to do also. The improv and these comedy stores and comedy clubs. I love going. I like a laugh. I like that makes me feel happy. So I do enjoy going to a laugh. And sometimes we'll talk to the comedians afterwards. And if I can make them laugh, it makes me feel good. We just tell stories and trade bad jokes. One guy was.
You know what?
Yeah.
Wait,
is that Angela?
What's that?
I said, is that Angela?
No, not yet. I don't see your number on the board yet. But what I was thinking was what was I thinking? I was lost my flow.
We're talking about laughing.
Laughter is without a doubt the one of the best medicines. And sometimes we have to laugh at ourselves if we can stand back far enough. And like you said, reflection, looking back at some of the things we have done in the past.
Mm-hmm. And how crazy they are.
So, in fact, here's something Debbie says. Debbie says, "How awful for you. I am so sorry. Some people, while trying to be funny, don't realize how hurtful they are. I would tell them how you feel and then keep your distance from them." So
it's her sister, though.
Yeah, so well, a lot of people have already said they've disconnected from family even, so they're not being prejudiced about who they cut out. Because I understand that the need for sanity outweighs the need to hold that bloodline, if that bloodline is causing you pain and making you suicidal. It's them or yourself. You cut those ties if necessary. That's the last thing
you want
to do because family is a key support mechanism. But if that family member, there's always one in the group somewhere who is just not going to ever come around, and you got to use those scissors to cut
right.
the ties,
not
the person.
No, yeah, you just cut them off or limit your contact with them. I mean, I found that I was, close to someone totally incapable of everything. I realized I was the glue of this whole unit and family. My family circle was just really strongly dependent upon me. And had I died in my accident, that would have been a catastrophe, not just because I'm gone and the kids would have their mom, but because the finances would have been cut off. I didn't have things all together, such as a will and trust and bank account. Everything was kind of all over the place, and that kind of made me think, I'm kind of operating in this fog, and I was still in a fog, but I needed some professional help as far as organizing my life and finances, which I kind of had, but it wasn't all the way, partly. And then other things, I needed to organize my life such that I was not such an integral part of everything.
So how did what kind of professional help did you get? Who did you get? How did you find this assistance?
It wasn't who, it was a lot of who's. So I ended up going to counseling, and I had physical therapy, and I had some other brain training stuff that I was doing. So I had healthcare for the inside and outside. And then I got a financial, fiduciary, a person who would have my best interest in mind and not just attempting to make money. So there are different companies that do that, a lot of private places that weren't trying to sell me anything, but were trying to manage my portfolio. Whereas I was able to put money away, I didn't have a plan for if I wasn't alive. So I got all of that kind of sorted out because of my brain injury, including I never thought about dying. Oh, my gosh. Funerals and pre-planning of all that stuff. And, are you going to be cremated? Are you going to be whatever and buried? And if you're going to be buried, a plot, and what if you die out of the country? So all these questions at the end of life I figured out, and then I got the right now figured out, and then I bridged the gap with professional help so that if something were to happen, I would die or my children were to die, then I know what is going to happen because it may happen, I didn't have to live after my injury, but as an adult, I do need to put money aside in case I live and be able to pay my bills and all that stuff. So I did a little bit of everything, and slowly every day did a little something.
So you were fortunate enough to have a village to help bring you back to normalcy.
Right. Right. So I could focus on myself. But once I took a step back and looked at my life and my family and my circle, my household, and then the extended relatives that depended on me, I thought, wow, I need to do things a little bit differently, because if I'm not here, or I lose my job, or I'm permanently disabled, do I have the right insurance? Do I have the right coverage? How do I find that? And there are people that do all that. There are people that know all of that. And that just gives you peace of mind, and it's one less thing you have to worry about. I don't have to worry about, oh, how am I going to pay my rent and my mortgage? What if this happens? What if I get injured? What if it's all, it didn't happen overnight, but it happened overnight that I realized, oh, I'm not prepared for anything.
Now, the thing there is probably because you were young, and young people don't think things like this can happen. But the thing within our, in our community is anyone, anywhere, anytime. So
right.
It's something that we before happening, should think about in general. Like you said, living will, all the people you want
having
to
your
be
financial.
In charge. Your surrogates, yeah. Your financial, your judiciaries, we need to think about those things before something like a head injury happens or any kind of illness, because heart attacks,
right.
Sudden death, car accidents, any moment, anyone, anywhere, anytime. So those are things
right.
that you just brought up that are essential for making it easier on those who are left to care for us, or in the worst case scenario, bury us or cremate us. To have our order, our records in order, our affairs
right.
clearly outlined.
And I mean, that's something with your military background. The armed forces do require those things. So usually.
Oh yeah, before Marines, especially if you're being deployed, that's something that you
yeah.
have to. That's required in the military.
All of that.
So for military
just
personnel.
Military personnel. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, Jenny has something here. Jenny says, pull her off to the side, talking about her sister.
Oh, the sister?
She says, pull her off to the side and tell her that was incredibly uncalled for, that if roles were reversed, you would never do that to her. When you are around them again and they start picking on you, look at her and excuse yourself. Say you need to go. So leave. So her suggestion is just leave the situation. She's a passive person. But what she does, I don't think what Jenny's getting here is that a lot of TBI patients don't become passive. Some do. Many do. But most don't. Passive
right,
is the
opposite
of what... Yeah, it's the opposite of passive. Excuse me, I'll leave the room and just not address that right now. That's not how it
no,
usually works.
TBI no, TBI is about to go down.
Oh, hell no. You did not just say that. And then it goes on from there. Out of control.
That's right. And then the next thing, they're on TV, you know. It's like
the Jerry Springer Show.
Yes.
No,
or,
call us,
you know,
Revolving Head Trauma. We'll talk about it on air with you. You call us, Michelle and Terry. And maybe Angela.
Yeah, we'll,
looks like Angela didn't make
it
tonight, but we'll talk about it. So, Jenny must not have been around a lot of survivors with the aggressive short fuse result.
Right.
But if you can do that, it is good. If you're able to just stand up and leave and excuse yourself, that's generally the best way to handle it. I mean, because otherwise, if you sit there and get into it, feelings are going to get hurt, punches might get thrown, heaven forbid, blades start slinging and bullets start flying. So get up, excuse yourself, and let it go. Because
listen, that reminds me, yeah. One time, this is kind of recent after my TBI, and I can't remember what happened. It was around dinner time, and I don't remember what preceded this event, but I did manage to walk out after having a temperature. drove. I remember we had this huge, this upright piano, and it had pictures of my kids and different things on the top. And I knocked everything off the top of the piano.
Like in a movie scene where you take your arm and just swipe everything, wipe it all off to the floor?
Yeah.
Oh, aren't you dramatic? Okay.
Total drama queen. I was like, and later I think back, I'm like, oh my God, what was that all about? It's
wait
like
a second,
I
go
didn't
back
even
to the
recognize
scene.
Myself.
What happened? What happened at that moment when you did that? What did everyone do?
Well, you know, I think it was like dinner time. I just remember, you know, the family helping me, my mom and a cousin and the kids and my ex-husband. They were kind of like around. And I don't remember what the discussion was, but I didn't like it or it was upsetting me. And I just went from A to Z, and I exploded. And I went for a walk, but before I went for my walk, I did some damage to my own house. I just swiped everything off that piano, and it was like a 200-year-old piano, like 18-something, and it had all antique, and I think I scratched the top. Something scratched it.
What was everyone's reaction? How did they handle your outburst?
Basically, like nothing happened because I was gone for an hour. I went out for a walk. This was a beautiful day, Colorado, Rocky Mountains, and I just walked the neighborhood for a while. And so when I got back, dinner was over, kids were in bed. It was like, I don't know what happened. I have no idea. I just
Do you remember how long after your brain trauma did this happen? How many years or months or weeks?
It was a week. It was like immediately. Immediately. I changed overnight. I was a little bit like confused at first, but once my body started healing, because I had like road rash on one side of my body and then my face, the other side. One side of my face was messed up and one side of my body. So I had to really lay in a weird kind of position. I couldn't lay on the same side of my face as my body. I had to like contort to some weird,
like a pretzel,
weird position. Yeah, to get to sleep, I had to have my face, my head facing upwards, and my body turned to the side. It was like total crazy, not crazy, but it was odd and uncomfortable, and so I had to take medicine. So I think I was just navigating. The first week or two, I don't really remember that much. But I do remember I found who in the family were my rocks, who were the go-to people, who were the caretakers, you know, who were the able-bodied people that would support me and who wasn't, who I needed to amputate. Really, I learned that very quickly.
That's good because oftentimes survivors will not be so quick to discern good from bad people. They tend to take the abuse without realizing that they can amputate that person.
Yeah, you know, and if they're not, this is what I kind of gave my, I had my own little mantra, and I say it to my kids too. I say, you know, if you're not helping, then you're in the way. You're blocking progress. So I had to kind of go back to that mantra that I'm trying to get better. And if you're not in a position to help, then you're in the way. And there were some people that were in the way that were blocking my progress on different levels, certain people that I don't want to say I thought were my friends, but because they could still be friendly, they just weren't in a position to aid my recovery. So if you're an alcoholic, you don't need to go back to your friends at Cheers. I know that's talking aging myself, but you know what I mean?
Actually,
don't go to the bar.
It's funny, in Jacksonville, there is a bar called Cheers. You're right. So I mean, it's a learning experience, and for you to be so freshly injured or brain traumatized, that makes it a little even like fresh off the fire. So you're
have been a month, because I just think, I don't know how long my mom stayed with me. Thank God, bless her. She's helped me so much. I can never repay her. She was there, and I remember her being around when I blew up, and that was in the beginning, maybe the first couple months. And then I had somebody else come, and then we would hire people. And it was just really, it was a very difficult time, just unusually weird and different. And
did anyone make fun of you? Do you remember anyone making fun of you like they did to our already
not in my face, not in my face, but I do remember I had quite a few scars on my hands and my face. And I just looked messed up. You know, I had two black eyes, a broken nose, road rash, like I said, on one side of my face, then on my body. So by the time I got a little bit healed to where I could go out, I still had scars and what do they call, like scabs, and I just looked really different.
But you
did
had compassionate people around
back.
You. You didn't have
right
mean people.
Not to my face, no. I did not have, I had one person that wasn't really, he didn't really say that I remember. Oh, yeah, he did. Someone blamed me for the accident. Now, a car hit me, and this guy blamed me for my own accident.
Did you go off
and
on him?
That was really hard.
Punch him in the nose?
No, I didn't. That was early on, and I didn't, it wasn't outright, oh, you did it on purpose kind of thing. It was like over time, this innuendo. And it came out totally later, the full weight of the blame and his belief about what happened. And I'm like, I did not like run into a car on purpose.
You've aroused our curiosity. Yeah. How did he think it was your fault that you were hit by a car? That you were what, riding in the middle of the street or riding towards traffic?
Just that I hadn't taken the bike path. I went a different way. I was on a different, what happened was I was riding my bike to work, and it was the first time that I had ridden all the way to work. I was riding, it's only 5 miles, 7 miles, something like that, and I had been riding my bike, and I was up to like 12 miles, and I thought, well, I can ride that. It's only half that distance to work. I can do it. So I kind of mapped out my route, and I was going to take the bike to the bus and ride the bus. And I thought, why am I doing that? I could just ride all the way. It's only 5 miles. And so about a mile before, I got to this busy kind of intersection. It was just before the intersection. And I remember looking back to see the traffic, and there were, you know, so many cars coming. So I said, okay, let me wait until these cars pass. And that one of the cars hit me that I was waiting for them to pass. I was on the side of the road, and one of them just hit me. So it's kind of like the person, maybe they were on the phone. And have you ever kind of veered off to the side a little bit?
Boy,
so it was kind of like that.
So how did you turn that around to make it your fault?
Listen, I don't know. People live in an alternate universe. There are people that we see and we talk to, and they believe stuff that is not there. And I didn't understand where this guy was coming from, but as our relationship has progressed over the years, I understand that he's not in this dimension with us.
Oh, you mean he's a little mentally off a little bit?
Could be, and it could be just a severe personality flaw or whatever, something like that. I don't know. And I'm not the person that's beyond my expertise diagnosing and understanding people and how they operate. But some of the things that he has said subsequently have kind of raised a red flag. A lot of red flags are going off.
Like hurtful things?
Yes. But I think my attitude and my persona was not to take those things on. So as I encountered this guy and was around him, the things that he would say, I wouldn't take. I wouldn't grasp. I just wouldn't even give any credence to what he was talking about. But after the injury, I looked at him differently, our relationship differently. And so some people that I was friendly to and bonded with, the ties did need to be severed. And it was hard because I couldn't see a way to kind of navigate things and live my life without some of these relationships, but I had to do it.
Survival. In fact, yes. If we had enough time, I would love to open an envelope because one of the topics here is do TBI people have any friends left? Do you? And another one is, do you lose friends after TBI? And that's a very sensitive topic because that happens a lot. We if we care for ourselves and want to and put our own oxygen mask on the plane first before we help other people, that might mean eliminating people from our lives. And sometimes it's essential for self-care.
Or limiting our contact with them.
Yeah, modifying exposure. There you go. So it's a tough road to walk, and in some cases, we can't walk it with others. We do have to walk alone, and ideally we find people who understand and get us. Like the closest thing I had after that I was aware of, in fact, I wasn't told this until many, many years afterwards, and I won't say the relative who said this, but the relative was talking to my mother, saying that I got to deal with that. The boy's crazy. He's lost his. He's just crazy. And my mother defended me, saying, "Don't pick on the baby. He's not crazy. He just hurt his head."
Yeah.
And it was, when the relative told me this, who was calling me crazy, it was so many years later that it was funny. So I didn't have to deal with the reaction because it was just history at that point. So it was funny. But what I learned was that there are some people in your life, maybe it's not your mother, but in my case, that moment, it was my mother who came to my defense and tried to help the relative who was not dealing with it so well, try to help them get it. So in a group of people around us, there's usually one person who's going to stand by us and help support us. And then there's that person we're going to have to let go. So it's a matter of self-preservation.
Well, right. And if they're not helping you to heal and nurturing, caring, or providing some type of support that you need, then they are inhibiting, blocking, preventing you from making the progress.
Growth, exactly.
So get professional help, employ whoever you need to employ, look at yourself honestly, and others around you will notice what's changed the closest people will know. Well, you know, oh, Terry used to always tell jokes, and now he's gone quiet. Or he's this type of person, but this is what happened now. People around you will notice, and if you have an honest, open relationship, you can say to them, did you notice I'm not the same? What have you noticed? Because I feel differently, but I look the same. So there may be a way to open Pandora's box or get the conversation rolling, and you may be surprised people notice things that you're doing, saying, behaving, whatever, and you haven't noticed.
That's a good point, because I mean, sometimes we don't see ourselves as we are. We see ourselves as we think we are. So we confide in someone who we trust, who we believe will have our best interest at heart, and then listen, because often if we hear something that we don't agree with and we ignore it, we just perpetuate that issue, and it doesn't get better, it doesn't improve. So we have to sometimes stand back and say, okay, maybe I trust this person. This person would not lie to me. And listen, and because sometimes we are the problem, and sometimes we can change that by accepting issues that we can't see in ourselves. Like you just said, listening to someone else. So we have to have an open mind with this. We have to keep our minds open and not believe that we have it all figured out and understood, especially after having our brains rattled around like that. Thinking clearly can be sometimes difficult.
Yeah, very difficult. It's like walking, operating in a fog or behind a closed curtain or some kind of smoky room. I think of something on fire and you don't know where the fire is, but you know that it's not, your path isn't clear. You've got a lot of things to navigate along with your regular life. You've got to heal now and attempt to bring yourself, improve, get better, whatever. You know, you've got to, it's a good place to be just to rest sometimes. That's a good spot to heal, somewhere quiet, sleeping, meditating, taking walks, being with nature. But also training your brain and creating those new pathways, that's important.
Because
and
the reaction
often can't do it alone.
And especially the creating the new pathways, because there are going to be people who challenge you, who don't know about your brain injury and will make comments or say something off the wall about your behavior because they don't know that you have brain trauma. And the more you practice letting things roll off your sleeve and the easier it becomes over time. I mean, it's a matter of you play the way you practice. So you start practicing. And with two minutes left for our show, Michelle, we're going to give another thank you to Craig Cecilia, who so generously supports this network and pays all the bills. And to Kim Justice, who meticulously takes care of all the hosts and all the issues of the show. And keeps us with the voice. She, you know, those two work together to make sure that the silent epidemic isn't quite so silent because of our ability to communicate on this mass media. And thank you, Michelle, for coming on with us every month now for quite a while.
Thank you for inviting me. Hey, would you like to go to Grand Cayman with me? I'm going to refresh my brain down there next month.
You mean during showtime you're going to be in the Cayman Islands?
I don't know. I'm trying to get a weekend before school starts, so it's got to be early.
Sure in August will be late in August, so you'll be out of school by then. I'm already in school by then. But
well,
to recap
yeah,
for our audience, with 60 seconds left, can you hear that in your part? You can't hear the little voice telling you how much time left, I guess. I'm in the studio.
No, it's on your headset.
Okay,
yeah.
In my headset. All right. Well, to wrap things up real quick, first of all, thank you for joining us. If you're listening to us in an archived show, whether it's morning, noon, or night, we wish you a happy experience in life and love. And we hope you've heard something tonight that triggers something in you to make it through this new journey of brain trauma. And with 30 seconds left, Michelle, anything you want to say? Mm-hmm. Say goodnight tonight?
Well, just thank you to all of the listeners. So many people on the switchboard listening in silence. They're not raising their hands, but we see you. So thank you for joining us.
Yes.
And keep the letters coming in.
All right. And thank you so much for listening. And Michelle, we'll hopefully talk with you next month on air live. And until then,
wouldn't miss it.
We'll say goodnight. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Good night.